now, Free Fire Radio. Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio. It's Friday, October the 29th. Big Halloween weekend jumping in here. That must explain the fact that Jim was doing his doing all the news in this mask. I'm not sure what it's a mask of a. Well, okay, come on. It was Brad Pitt. It was either Brad Pitt doing the news or somebody was in a mask. Anyway, it's 7:06.
Is that why the doors were locked?
Friday morning. Joined by Bad Bob.
And good morning.
Bad Bob, are you happy? You're not happy, are you, Bad? No, you're not. Brenda came home. You should be happy. You'd have some happy smiles over your face. Is that a hickey on your neck, Linda? Is that a hickey on Bob's neck?
Okay. I think it's a shaving error.
Okay. I think it's a hickey. Brenda,
no,
you little
Snooki,
devil.
Snooki nibbled on him. We've got Snooki in today, so well, in case you hope you don't want to hear any barking in the background, Jesus.
Speaking of mommy, here she is, Linda.
Oh, well, gee, thank you. I guess, according to mommy dogdom, currently 51 degrees. You know what it is outside. I think you feel it. It says the forecast is 60% showers, but it's happening.
100% around here.
Showers likely, according to the forecast, before 11 a.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 60. Tonight, showers likely mainly after 11 p.m. I want to thank the guest that I had on my show last night. Dennis from Champagne Limousine gave away to a lucky person a real treat, which is going to be so much fun. It's a free limo ride for their kid.
To school.
To school. Pick him up at school or take him to school. So he gave away a free limo ride, which will be the thrill, the talk of the town. So I want to thank them, and I want to thank just all our special guests. It was a great night, and just the film.
Sundial Film Festival
yeah. People.
We're going to have them on another show because you can have, they want the films in by January. And they've got films ranging up to from 30 minutes down to 1 minute. And that's right. They're throwing a challenge out for people to do a 1 minute film from start to finish. It's got to be 1 minute. And they're really aiming at students, but they said anybody could do it.
Right. And that's whoever is chosen with the 1 minute film gets a $500 prize. And then they're encouraging students. So whatever student that kid attends, we'll get $250. So, distracted.
No. Somebody's calling in to get some information because they're going to call back on the show because they've got something going on this weekend. I think I know what it is, but they can call back. We'll talk to them. Hey, you know what? Let's talk about last night, the Soup Kitchen.
Fabulous turnout.
Was that fabulous? That was great. We went down there to volunteer. You know, they've been on the show. We've been talking about it. Come on down and volunteer and be one of the, quote, celebrity soup slingers. So we did. And we got down there, and it was packed with celebrity soup slingers.
At 4:30.
So we wandered around, but we couldn't even fight our way in to give out soup. So we ended up buying a bunch of raffle tickets.
Nobody called, huh?
And, no, I don't think we won anything, unless they call you later. But they ranged from, the soups were cooked by tapas from some of the other great places here in town. They had the servers ranged from Wally Herger to Jim Reed. They were separated by 8 or 9 people. They had people from Anderson, from City Hall, from City Shasta Lake, some of the politicians that were there. Chris Young was there. And we were just there to 5, a little bit after, well, about probably 5:30, and then because we had to get ready for Linda's show last night. But what a great success. What a great success. You know what, we're supposed to take a break, but let's go to John here. John.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Just fine. About yourself?
We're good. What's going on?
I'm calling on behalf of the Northern Free Trappers Muzzleloading Club.
Yeah.
We have an annual 16th annual turkey shoot coming up November the 6th. And its funds are to go to our candidate this year is Sierra Pate, 17-year-old, who has Hodgkin's lymphoma. She's currently at UCSF for testing. She's had 3 bone marrow transplants, and the last being in May from her sister. Doctors are hoping this will work for Sierra. Sierra is hoping to return to school soon if her blood count improves. She was an honor roll student and has an outstanding attitude.
Well, John, now you all have this every year, and you do it as a fundraiser for a good cause. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Well,
this is our 16th annual Daryl Burbank Memorial Shoot.
This is great. We are very supportive of this. Okay, John, tell people how they can get there, what they should do, how do they show up. Do you need to have a muzzle loader?
No, there's no requirements for you to shoot. We have a barbecue dinner out there, tri-tip and chili beans and side dishes of all kinds. There's a rifle event, a shotgun event, hawk and knife, hawk poker, raffle prizes, and fun shoots. You go 9 miles out Gas Point Road off Interstate 5 in Cottonwood. You go 2 miles past the turnoff to West Valley High School. Continue on to the road called Two Feathers. There will be signs on the right-hand side. You turn and go through a gate. It's a mile out on a gravel road to the site. Property is owned by Paul Walter, an ex-constable in the Shasta County area, and he allows us to have our memorial shoot there each year and our rendezvous there each year.
Now, is everybody going to be in period clothing?
No, this memorial shoot, we don't require period costumes or anything of that effect.
Okay.
We do require, if you shoot, the entry fee is nominal. It's a small amount. Chili bean dinner is $8 per person. Children 11 to 6 are $4. 5 and under are free. Dinner's at 2 p.m. We have over 185 raffle prizes, plus we have many auction prizes that have been donated by the businesses in Shasta and Tehama County. And we've been fortunate enough for the past 4 years. We've had four different, this is our 16th annual, by the way, but we've had the 4 candidates we've had in the last 4 years. We've totaled up over $30,000 that we've given to these individuals as they're come up 9,000 plus each one.
That's great. Okay, now, somebody, in case they didn't write down those directions, is there a phone number they can call?
Yes, you can call either my phone number, I'm president, 347-3212, or Bill Correll, he's the Bougeway, at 503-921-3903.
Now, do you have a website by any chance?
Yes, but I'm computer illiterate, so you have to go to my wife for that precision.
Okay, this is John Hinote, is that
right?
Hinote. Oh, John Hinote from the Northern Free Trappers Association, and they're having a rendezvous on the 6th, next week, a week from this Saturday, and it's for a fundraiser for Sierra Pate. So you can go out there and get dinner. You can watch people shoot. You can participate. It sounds like a great time, John.
If you're interested in learning to shoot a muzzleloader, we'll have people out there with muzzleloaders to give you demonstrations and allow you to shoot them.
There you
go.
Great. You know, that sounds like fun. I fired one a couple of times, but this sounds like a good time to do it. Okay, John, thank you very much. Give us a call next week, too.
More than welcome for allowing me on your air.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, that's what we do, John. All right, thank you. Hey, this is Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio. We've got to take a break. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Hi, welcome back. KCNR 1460A, it's Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Friday morning, October the 29th, we've shot through this month. Hey, your phone line's here, 605-4567, and honey, get the chat room up, 1460, KCNR1460.com.
Still going through my emails.
Well, you might want to push that up a little bit closer
talk.
There you go.
Still going through my emails. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll do a little bit of what's happening in town this weekend. All Saints Episcopal Church annual Harvest Bazaar is happening on October 30th. That's tomorrow morning. I'm going first thing in the morning
because it's got great stuff.
We ran into these gals at the Library Foundation, some of the women that are involved in this, and it's their church women. They're hosting their annual Harvest Bazaar from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's in the church hall at Quartz Hill Road and Benton Drive. It's going to feature baked goods, antiques and collectibles, linens, silver pieces, vintage jewelry, and much more. Oh, boy. Okay, so that's happening tomorrow. That's really a great thing. Starting November, which you know is Monday, we're really going to start pushing Christmas for the troops. That's November 20th out at the Fitzgerald Hall. And many of you remember last year when we did Martinis with Santa and then forward to Christmas for the troops. That was at the Veterans Hall. We had a smashing night. We had to turn away people, so they moved it to a larger location, which hopefully we get to send out around 500 boxes. Last year we sent out 350. So the call is going to be going out. You're going to hear us talking about it on a regular basis. We are looking for people that you know here in the North State that are serving. I mean, that's the first call, is a friend, a relative, North State veterans that are currently serving. We want to send them boxes from people in the North State, handwritten notes, goodies, the whole nine yards. Last year was a spectacular event, so we're going to be talking about that.
Oh, we've got tonight, and this kind of just handed to me last night, the Master James Matthews is having his annual Harvest for Our Troops. And they please bring items that some of the most requested items for our troops, foot powder, powdered drink mix for the 20-ounce water bottles, books, magazines, hand sanitizer, shelled nuts in plastic bags, sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, anything else you can think of that our troops might need, no alcohol, of course. Please bring it to the PhD Martial Arts Center at 2525 Victor Avenue tonight between 5 and 8 p.m. They're going to have a fall family fun night. For more information, please call 226-9494. Eric, one of our producers here, is really big into this thing. Here's a, you know, the mild-mannered man that wears a dress or kilt. I'm sorry, kilt.
Yeah.
I say that, kilt. And comes in, but he's
very much into martial
very
arts.
Very much into martial arts. You don't, probably don't want to tease him about his knees.
And even though he wears a kilt, he calls it a utila kilt.
Yeah,
it's very hip.
It's very
hip. Okay, you know what? Why we're talking about stuff going on in town, I got a call out from Anselmo's, and they have just a few reservations left. We're going to be there. Yesterday we had Frank DeSalvo on. He's going to have his fabulous trio, and in between him singing with the trio, he's going to do a tribute to Frank Sinatra. So it's a 50s-style themed evening. The menu is going to be a cheese plate, Caesar salad, sorbet, and your choice of beef Wellington, chicken Florentine, or an ahi chop. The cake is designed by Terry LaHorg. And, of course, the music is Frank DeSalvo and his band, Easy Street.
Night of fun, dancing,
oh my gosh.
Great food.
The tickets are $60 per person for non-wine club members and $40. So here you get this five-course evening out at this beautiful winery with great music. It will be a very romantic, fun night. Carl's going to wear his Chinese red satin smoking jacket. And
yeah,
with
just
a tie.
I can imagine y'all probably think that just hangs in my closet, right?
Yeah. And his, so he's going to be dressed in that 50s, look of, isn't it interesting how the men used to dress? They used to keep their ties
like
on and just throw a smoking jacket over it.
My smoking jacket.
Yeah.
If I had a smoking jacket.
And then I'm going to pull out a hat and gloves and all the wonderful 50s attire stuff that I used to collect. And my good friend Karen from Chameleon Costumes, we've had for 2 weeks been trying to figure it out. But we're going to take a break. We hope we see you out there. If you want to make reservations, 474-5546. Yes, we're going to get to some news. Yes, we're going to get to some good stuff. But we just want to fill you in on what was going on in the North State here. Carl and Linda Bott here, KCNR 1460. Good morning, Reading. Yes, you are listening to Carl and Linda Bott right here on KCNR 1460. It is going to be high today of 60. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. You know, we started off a little differently this morning and did some talked about a lot of different things that were happening in town. But you know what happened on today? Just quickly, I want to let you know that it was on this day, October 29th. Over 16 million shares were traded in panic. selling on the New York Stock Exchange, and thousands of investors were wiped out on this day. 1929. Prices plummeted. Millions lost. Billions. And buying boom was over. The market crash that had been preceded by 4 days with a speech by the President of the United States, Herbert Hoover, in which he said, the fundamental business of the country is on a sound and prosperous basis. The Great Depression was longer and harsher than previous depressions, which had seen an upturn in business activity after 1 or 2 years. But on October 1929, until Franklin D. Roosevelt became president in March 1933...
thereby making sure that the Depression lasted another 4 or 5 years with his crazed plans during that time.
Not to start you on your Friday with a depressing note, but it was something that happened today in history.
Okay, we gave time to it when it happened. We're going to give time to it now. The investigation showed no boycott threats were found in the between the city coming in and supposedly city workers came into Industrial Welding and threatened boycotts for supporting Bassetti and Jones. And this, it was probably just a big misunderstanding. And the, you know, the thing about it is if a big misunderstanding. And you know, the owner said, and originally that water utility worker in the mid-September reportedly asked the owners where their sign, where their Jones and Bassetti signs were. They demanded to know if the Largens were voting for the incumbents, who strongly favor scaling back retiree benefits. And supposedly he repeatedly asked the Largens how business owners around town would like it if the city stopped doing business with them if they voted for Jones and Bassetti. And the investigation from investigator Sean Watts, retired California Highway Patrol chief, could neither confirm nor refute the allegation city utility workers attempted to influence outcome. He spent around $2,000 doing that. But he's got no audio or video evidence of the investigation. He rely on the memories. You know, and the city workers are saying, well, just kidding, just kidding. And, you know, we talk about those things all the time, and yet they felt threatened. Anyway, the right thing was done. There had to be an investigation. Of course, you've got your, you know, you're seeing five people commenting 80 times on the blogs. But something had to be done. Something had to be talked about. Something, they had to take a look at it. This is a serious allegation, and now it comes down to he said, she said. Well, I know if things were said. You know, these, you know, now the quote, the ideas or the answer to that is, was the guy talking? Hey, we always kid around here. We always kid around here. Was he kidding, or, you know, how much kidding is there a purpose underneath that? We've got to take a break. After the break, we're coming back. Coach Bob's on the phone. We're going to talk to Coach Bob and his comments for today. But join us after these messages. We got a great show lined up. We got a bunch of guests coming in, including Paul Hooser from REU. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 7:35. It's 51 degrees and raining out there, big.
You're listening to KCNR 1460. This is Carl and Linda Bott, 1460. Again, I just said 1460. Are you sure you got 1460 on your dial? Good morning, Coach Bob. You are live on the air with us. How are you this morning?
1460. Yeah, I see that on 1460, right?
That's right. Yeah. We say that a lot. Yeah. Some people continue to...
Think we're somewhere else,
think
but
we're
here
someplace
we are.
Else. We're on 1460.
What's going on, Bob?
How could they think you're somewhere else? Anyway, I wanted to thank you for those tickets to MASH last night. I gave up the World Series game to go to that.
Wow.
And I can say that, Ben, it was a blowout. I didn't miss all that much. I caught the score during the intermission. But it was a lot of fun, and I told you I'd call you and tell you that. It's a cute show, a lot of local people, a lot of folks I know. Some real good USO singers. The gals that opened the show were really cute. The songs are great, and they sang beautifully. And it was just fun. It was just fun. A fun way to spend from about 7 to 9:30, roughly.
Oh, man, that's so great. And you were there on opening night. I know that meant
a
lot. Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I'm sure the World Series cut into business a little bit, but it was probably two-thirds full, and that is, I've never heard of this place, and that's why I had to call the station to find out where in the world it was. That McLaughlin Auditorium is magnificent.
Oh.
That's what we've heard.
It's a wonderful theater.
Down at Sequoia.
It's as good as anything in town, save for the Cascade.
Wow. Okay.
We've heard great things about that.
Yeah. It is a beautiful facility. I'm shocked. My stepkids went there many moons ago, and, of course, it didn't exist then. I'm going to have to write them. One's on an aircraft carrier, and one's down at Fresno University. I'm going to have to write them and let them know that their school has come a long way, because that is a big increase in quality to have that.
Wonderful.
And I hope it gets used lots and lots and lots.
Well, thank you. I mean, how many seats did you think are there in the theater?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. I didn't look at it from that perspective, but it's a big theater.
All right. Well, thanks for letting us know, Coach.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Coach Bob.
All right, take care. Thanks. Amy, you're on live on KCNR. How are you this morning?
I'm great, you guys.
Okay, this is Amy Palko, who is a trainer at Adamson's Peak Performance, and we weekly like to have her give us a fitness tip. And today, what would that be, Amy?
Well, we all know that exercise is good for the heart, but a lot of people don't think about how exercise is great for your brain, too. So, obviously, it's really important to get that aerobic exercise in, and that helps to stimulate the circulation to your brain, and it can also help manage weight and avoid extra fat in the brain. Of course, we know eating well is important, so you want to have a really well-balanced diet that includes an abundance of dark-skinned fruits and vegetables and even cold-water fish. And then think about it. You cultivate friendships when you work out, and that improves your mental stimulation and even your mood. And, of course, stress management. You can't forget about the fact that exercise is going to be a great way for you to work out problems, resolve stress. You know, it takes 10 minutes of moderate activity for those endorphins to kick in. So if that's all you got, then start with that.
Okay. We've got other ways, too, of relieving stress. We like to face
each
other.
Well, there's certain things we can do in the gym.
Well, we face each other and we scream at the top of our voices, and Bob gets between us. That always works. And, you know, and it helps Bob, too. It makes Bob run back and forth. Anyway.
Well,
that keeps his brain stimulated.
Yeah, it does. We try to keep Bob's brain stimulated.
Well, Amy, I think those are great things, because we always know, whatever it is, it's just a tasty, tasteful little raindrop of a reminder of go work out, great for your heart. Great for your heart. It is great for your heart.
And your brain.
And your brain.
Tasty little raindrop of information. Did you say that?
Yes.
That was pretty cute. Hey, Amy, thanks a lot. We'll see you soon.
All right, guys.
Adamson's
Have a good
Peak
weekend.
Performance.
We'll
thanks,
see you next
Amy.
Week.
All right, bye-bye.
Hey, we're gonna take a break.
Yeah, we're going to take a break. Our guest and get our guest in here. We're going to be talking about great things that are happening around here. And so hang on. Carl and Linda Bach, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. CNR 1460, 7:42 in the morning. Carl and Linda Bott, 605-4567 is our phone lines, and you can just chat with us at kcnr1460.com. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest walk-in humidor in the state. Also, Espresso Joe's. Great coffee at that time of the year. You want those little warmer uppers? Well, they serve 30 or 40 different types of coffee. Dozens and dozens of ways. Now, we're going to be down there today at high noon when we're having our town hall meeting. And our guests today at town hall meeting are representatives of the city unions. And they're going to be talking about the election, how they see it, what their viewpoints are. And you can talk to them mano a mano, ask them questions. It'll go out, of course, over the Internet. We'll have it on YouTube. And you'll get a chance to ask them the questions with nothing in between you, no sound bites, no screen, no radio. You can just ask them. So join us at noon at Tobacco and Brew. Lunch is available there for a nominal price.
In the studio right now, we're very excited because we have Bill and we have our people that are from the Shasta Center and Haven Humane.
Good morning.
Morning.
Virginia from Haven Humane.
It is Virginia from Haven Humane.
You blanked on me there.
I totally went blank. And I just said hello to you. So anyway, you guys, we have the dog in, taking her sweater off and on, because I said we brought Snooki in. But tell us what's going on. It's a Halloween kids and pet costume contest that is happening from 11 to 4 in the Kubla Furniture parking lot there at the Shasta Center. What's going on? Virginia.
Okay.
And Bill.
I'll tell you the start of it. Yes, Bill came to us last year, and we did this last year, and it was great. Had a great success, lots of activities. We will be having our microchip vehicle there. We'll have adoptions. We're going to have a photographer there. Kids in costume, pets in costume, a little bit of everything, and rain or shine, we're going to be there, and we're optimistic that it's going to be good weather.
It's going to be nice. I'm putting in my 2 cents worth right now.
All right. So
direct connection.
Rain is lessening.
Last year, I heard it was quite the smash.
It was huge.
Oh, yeah. It was big.
We had a big turnout. Lots of kids in costumes. All the merchants in the Shasta Center got together, and they're all, providing candy and dog treats so you can go trick or treating with your kid and your canine or other animal pet. Last year we had a goat dressed up like Friar Tuck, so you never know what's going to show up.
Well, the Shasta Center and Kubler's, you guys do so much for the community. This is such a wonderful way to host an event here, and so I see that there is Best Doggy Kisser, Best Doggy Smile, Best Doggy Tail Wagger, Best Match Costume, Scariest Costume, the list goes on. So you can trick-or-treat with your kids. And take out your dogs. Everybody loves to dress their pet.
Oh, yeah. You should have seen the costumes. I mean, we had everything. Everything. All-size dogs. We had greyhounds, Great Danes. We had boxers. We had little bitty dogs. Little, just adorable costumes. And the kids, some of them matched. You know, they matched their outfit with their pet. That was cool.
You know, I always wonder about that. You know, it's okay for kids to do it. But it's when adults do it. I wonder about that. I mean, when I see
why
them, like,
not?
Dress like their dog.
You know, you're just into it. You're really
yeah.
into
yeah, I
it.
Know. But anyway, what about this thing? Is that after a while, people buy animals that look like them?
Are they looking like their animals?
I mean, I've read that before. And then they show pictures of.
Well, Snooki looks like a white bear. What does that say about you?
Uh oh.
No comment.
He's got a killer.
He's got that silver thing going on up top,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So it's all good.
That's okay.
Okay, again, time, date, and place.
Tomorrow.
Amazing.
Tomorrow it's here at Shasta Center at 1894 Churn Creek Road, right behind Cool Hand Luke's in the Kubler Furniture parking lot. And it starts at 11 a.m. tomorrow. So,
and it goes to 4, and at 1 o'clock is the costume contest. Got to be there at 1 to get in on that. And they have huge eaves, you know. They're very deep eaves. So, you know, even if it were sprinkling, hey, they're going to be dry. It's going to be good.
Yeah, there's a lot of places there.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to get...
We can be high and dry.
Well, Virginia, I really enjoy getting your emails and hearing the updates with Haven Humane. We're big supporters of Haven Humane and what you guys have been doing with Haven Humane in the last couple of years. We took a tour, and we tell everybody on the air that place is, you can eat off the floor. It's cleaner than most restaurants. It's amazing.
Oh,
and
it's a hard job, but, boy, we have a great staff.
It's a tough job.
And now's the time that if you're thinking of, it's all about adopting pets, you know, that are in need. And I understand the shelter is overflowing. Good time to, you guys do evaluations there, too.
We do, and this month does happen to be senior month, adopt a senior pet. And our senior pets, we consider about 6 years of age and older. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times senior people will adopt a senior pet.
Yeah,
So, we encourage, we encourage people to come on down and take a look at our animals.
So you're going to have tomorrow you'll have a clicker training demonstration, mm-hmm. as well as microchipping for $10.
Absolutely.
What a deal.
That's a great deal.
Well,
you know
Keep
what?
Track of your pet.
Linda got a special. She got Snooki and me microchipped.
I'm not quite sure why I was microchipped.
Well, she's never quite sure where I am when I get on the Harley and I leave.
Exactly where did they put that?
I'll just let you know. I walk through certain buildings. I go.
No, you walk in circles because I have the remote control. We're going to take a break right now. Again, tomorrow, check it out. From 11 to 4, right over by Kubler's and the Shasta Center. It's Halloween. Joseph, your pet and have fun.
That's a lot of fun. We're going to stop by.
All right. We'll see you after these messages. show. Good morning. Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460. It's going to be 60% chance of showers today, but we know we're blowing that off. We know it's 100% chance of showers, and we're just going to buck up. But you know what? Tomorrow it may clear, and hopefully it does, because it is the Halloween doggy pet extravaganza thing happening out at Kubler's and Shasta Center. It's the pet contest. We ask you guys to stay over because there's some really other good scoop on tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely. Tomorrow we've got, not only do we have the pet contests and the kids, Halloween contests, and of course the $10 microchipping and the pet adoptions, and also the pet food, drive, because, you know, they're so full down there at the shelter, they need all the food they can get. So if you're, you know, inclined, please bring a bag of dog food to put toward the pet food drive. And then also Foothill High School will be out there with their carnival games to entertain the kids. They came out last year, and they brought all kinds of carnival games, and everybody had fun, and we got jump houses for the kids and that kind of stuff. So it's going to be quite a extravaganza.
Carnival rides?
Not carnival games.
Carnival games.
Yeah. I wish we could get carnival rides. Maybe next year.
Well, no, but carnival games, it's still, you know, it's so kiddie. It's really sounds like a very fun family event.
Absolutely. Last year we had a huge turnout.
And if you don't want people, if you like, you've got this thing about your kids, you know, walking around on trick-or-treat night. Sunday night, what a wonderful thing. Instead, Saturday afternoon, tomorrow afternoon, take the kids, the pet, dress them up, let's go have fun.
Absolutely. Every one of the stores is, you know, you go into the store, they're going to have candy there and trick-or-treat in the stores.
And they'll also have the Haven Junior, Junior Haven, I should say. Kids will be there helping out with the pumpkin decorating contest. So that's something they can just, you know, have fun with. And they paint. They'll be painting the pumpkins. They won't be carving them. Knives are a little dangerous.
And a little messy.
So, yeah.
It sounds like a great time. Okay, and this is tomorrow out in Cherry Creek at the, well, in the Kubler's, where in your
Shasta Center
there. It's going to be huge. And what time is it going to start?
Starts at 11 a.m., and the costume contest is at 1, and the whole thing will go to 4 p.m.
Great.
And, you know, if you've waited too late to get your pumpkin, the FFA kids will be there with a truckload of pumpkins, and, you know, they're raising funds for their events. And so they've got they grew these pumpkins themselves, and they're there with a truckload of pumpkins. So
wow. You get the whole thing covered.
Absolutely. We're trying.
Good.
Hey, are you going to dress up your pet?
I don't have a pet.
He has a giant horse.
Oh, yeah, those pets. I forgot about those. Those are real expensive pets.
And they're in costume every year.
Yeah, they sure are.
You know, it might be kind of funny, tongue-in-cheek, is to dress up your dog.
You know, my wife is...
Oh, your hog.
My wife is... Oh, my hog. There you go. My hog. I dress my hog up.
My hog's covered.
Yeah, my hog's covered right now, too. It's going to get out, though.
Okay, well, thanks for being on, and you know that we love it. We'll come by tomorrow. We want to say hi, because I'm sure you're going to have just
great
a real
time.
colorful, fun, can't quit smiling time out there
Center. We'll bring our folks.
Dress up your pet, bring your family tomorrow.
Absolutely.
We have a caller, but and Pete wants to talk about something else. But he also wants to tell Virginia hello. Pete, good morning.
Hey, hello, Virginia. This is Pete.
Good morning, Pete.
Good morning. Nice to hear you guys on there and doing such a great thing.
Who am I talking to?
Peters.
Pete, hi. How are you?
We didn't have her ears on first.
I didn't have ears on. I'm going, I know about three or four Petes.
Hey, listen, you're doing a great thing. You always do, Virginia.
Hey, thank you, Pete. We appreciate your support, too.
Yes. Well, Carl, I hate to change the subject from such a positive subject to voter fraud, but I wanted to get back to that for a minute because I'm pretty darn passionate about this issue. And I listened to what your guest candidate had to say yesterday, and I'm just afraid that people might think we don't have an issue up here. Kathy Darling will confirm that we have had voter fraud issues here, and poll watchers can't tell when somebody's voting for somebody else, and that was the case, if I remember correctly. Poll watchers can't do but so much, but people can, in fact, vote for other people, and it has happened, and we don't know how often it has happened.
I know that when I go in, when I just have to give my name. I don't have to prove who I am.
You don't, and that's something we want to talk to our legislators about, is affecting a new law that will require that, and Kathy Darling would be supportive of that.
No, I don't see any problem with just showing your ID when you go in to vote.
I don't either. But that's one. There's a number of scenarios that these people do. That's only one. They call it a low propensity voter. People that don't vote very often, they go in and they'll check the wall and see who hasn't voted, and they'll send a shill in to vote for them. Nobody knows if it happened in Shasta County that the person then came in to vote and they were told you already voted. So it can happen, and that's only one that got caught. So I don't want people to be too secure thinking this can't happen in Shasta County, because it indeed can. And
okay.
We need to be vigilant.
All right.
And we need to do whatever we can to fix the system. Because it's a shame to work so hard for elections and then have them stolen.
That's true.
So I just wanted to come back on that one, Carl.
Well, thank you, Pete,
for the opportunity.
Well, you know, Pete, you've always got a spot. You've always got a voice on KCNR.
Well, we appreciate that very, very much.
All right.
Talk to you later.
You bet. Thanks.
Bye.
Okay. One last. Haven Humane Halloween tomorrow.
Halloween
starts tomorrow at 11 o'clock, and goes. And you're going to have a chance to just do everything there. Dress up the animals. Dress yourself up. You're going to have carnival games. You're going to have pumpkin carving.
Foothill High School will be doing what again?
Carnival games.
Carnival games. There you go. And best doggy kisser, judging 1 p.m. Cutest costume. Best costume. Oh, my God. This is such a cute flyer.
Yeah. Okay. You know, when we got a break here for the segment. In the next hour, Paul Hooser, the head of REU, will be here. We're going to be talking REU questions, but also going to be talking some proposition stuff, too. And so join us. What do we got here? Oh, about another 30 seconds. We want to go through the propositions. We'll be going over the propositions Monday. Probably part of them today, but part of them Monday, too. So we can talk about the different propositions. There's so many of them. What do they mean? You know, what do you think about them? Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
You've been listening to KCNR Shasta, Reading.
Advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Friday. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It's 8:05 on the 29th. We are here on Halloween weekend. Bob, is that why, Bob, you have that mask on this morning? He's wearing a Zorro mask, and he's running around with a cape here. It's kind of scary. So, take off the cape, Bob. Mask is okay.
It's going to be 60 degrees today with a 60% chance of showers tonight after 11 p.m. Mostly cloudy with a low of around 48. Tomorrow, 40% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 58. Tomorrow night, showers likely, mostly cloudy with a low of around 49. The weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
You know, the thing about this mask, too, is he's running around with this magic marker putting Z's all over everything. You know, are you having a good time, Bob?
Are you having a good time, Carl? Talking about Bob having a good time.
I always have a good time.
It's on your mind.
What does one reply to this?
Just keep pushing the buttons, Bob. Hey, our guest again. I shouldn't say again. Our guest and has been our guest several times, and we always enjoy having him on because you know he's unflappable. You can ask him anything. I even think up questions to ask him. It has nothing to do with his job, and just to watch his face, nothing seems to perturb him. Paul Hooser from the Reading Electric Utility, the man in charge of our electricity.
Thank you for having me on again. I hope I live up to that billing.
Yeah, well, I was going to, you know, I go through a number of questions I throw out to him, and I wait till his eyes get big, and then I figure, okay, that's the one I really shouldn't ask. So, hey, first of all, welcome back.
Thank you.
And we want to talk, one, about what's going on with REU. What can we look forward to? But also, there's a big proposition that's coming up right now that we wanted to address. And we might as well just start with that.
And I assume you mean Proposition 23 that seeks to suspend Assembly Bill 32, the greenhouse gas law that California passed in 2006. You know, just for the viewer's benefit, not everyone may not be familiar, but Proposition 23 would seek to suspend the major provisions of AB 32, I know that's a lot of acronyms, until unemployment had been below 5.5% for four consecutive quarters in California. Ostensibly, the idea is that the greenhouse gas law, AB 32, that was passed in 2006, is a significant cost impact to the citizens of California. And I can tell you from an electric utility perspective, that is certainly the case. The rules that are being promulgated, while they're not finalized, the previews of those that we have had so far, it's certainly going to cause a cost uplift. There's no other way to make people be less carbon intensive other than raising the price of carbon. And, of course, energy is a carbon intensive business, no matter what form of energy you're in, whether it's transportation fuel or the electric utility business. You know, the difficulties get to be in analyzing how much do you have to raise prices in order to rewind us back to 1990 levels of emissions. And in round numbers, that's about a 25%
and
reduction.
And AB is Assembly Bill 32.
Yes, Assembly Bill 32.
And what they're saying is they want to get our emissions back to the,
1990 levels by 2020.
Now that's 12 years from, I'll be okay, 10 years from now. And they want to drop our carbon emissions back to 1990. And to do that, of course, means less emissions or ways, less emissions. It's got to, that's the bottom line. So that means less driving.
Less gasoline. Less diesel fuel, less natural gas burned to generate electricity.
People believe that, we can do solar, we can do waves, we can do wind.
We can do all those things. They're just substantially more expensive than the current means that we use to generate electricity.
All right, we're going to take a break here because we want to come back. I know there's going to be
a lot of questions in the chat room already coming up for Paul. We'll get right to them after we come back from this break. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. 8:13 in the morning, this portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. Doug Tooley's out on Airport Road. His phone number is 244-1988. Puts in Dish Satellite, and he's got a great deal out there. He's given rebates back. So literally, you can have Dish TV HD, two rooms, HD in one room, for free. Literally for free. 123 channels. $25 a month.
Waiting.
Yeah, so, with that, it's a, so give him a call, 244-1988. He'll get out there, he'll get everything installed for you. He's a local guy. You're talking to local people here. Money stays right here. It's Doug Tooley, B&T Satellite, 244-1988. Our guest, Paul Hoosier, REU. And we were talking about cost and AB 32. And Proposition 23.
Yes.
That puts AB 32 on hold.
Yes, and we'll find out Tuesday or shortly thereafter whether that proposition passes. The polling I've seen recently is it's pretty even. I think it's hard to call either way.
Well, here's the thing. We spend billions of dollars on carbon, on oil. That goes, in many cases, to our enemies. It does. Everybody knows that. Would I rather spend billions on non-oil products to be able to get free from terrorists, many of which are Islamic?
That's certainly a valid question. I think there are, in my opinion, more efficient ways or more cost-effective ways to do that. One example of that is switching the transportation sector more towards natural gas as a fuel for transportation purposes. And I don't know if listeners have followed this closely, but there's been a real revolution in natural gas production in the United States and North America in general, Canada as well, and that we have learned how to cost effectively extract natural gas from shale deposits in the Rocky Mountains, the Eastern Appalachians, Canada as well. And because of that, still improving technology, we now have very abundant amounts of
natural gas
produced in this country that is a viable transportation fuel. Now, if we diverted that amount of natural gas into the transportation sector to displace large volumes of oil, we would probably need an electric utility resource like nuclear energy, something that can produce large amounts of baseload energy cost-effectively. But that is actually a reasonably cost-effective strategy.
These are two doables. And these are ones that we could have in 10 years.
If we could build the nuclear plants in 10 years, we certainly should be able to do that. And there's also the same is true for the infrastructure for natural gas, because you have to build fueling stations that either have compressed or liquefied natural gas for transportation purposes. So that same type infrastructure has to be built.
Well, how hard is it to – are you familiar with how hard it is to switch a car engine over to natural gas?
Well, they're different engines, but all of the technology currently exists. There are some natural gas fleet on the road now in some large cities, buses, and, of course, they have their own fueling infrastructure. To be able to make it viable as a nationwide strategy, we'd have to have fueling stations everywhere. But it's certainly possible.
Okay.
We have a chat. We have calls coming in and a bunch of questions on the chat room. One from a guest that says, Paul, conservatively, how much will REU's rates rise in the next 4 years?
A lot of that depends on whether AB 32 is suspended or not. To kind of put in perspective just the AB 32 piece of costs, I use a shorthand term of a carbon tax, because even though we're calling it cap and trade, it is essentially a carbon tax. And the flexibility of this law is designed such that the number can be ratcheted up, and it actually has to be if we want to curb carbon intensity. I've heard numbers like $30 a ton for carbon as a kind of a starting point for prices. Now, we don't know that that's going to occur, but to put that in rate perspective for REU customers, $30 a ton price of carbon would be about a 15% equivalent in rates in terms of rate uplift. If you look at really...
Is that 15% a piece?
That's 15%. No matter how much you're using it, you're talking about a 15% increase for...
In your bill.
Yes, in your bill for a $30 per ton price for carbon. Now, I don't want to sound alarmist, but if you look at other places... Well, if you look at the price elasticity of energy, it's not that people use electricity because they like paying the bill. They use it because it's a necessity. They need to stay cool. So you have to, and this is true with gasoline, too. We've seen this. You have to raise prices a lot to get people to use less because they need it. They're not using it because they just love using electricity and spending the money. They need it. So $30 a ton won't even come close to moving us back to 1990 levels of emissions. To do that, I mean, there's been estimates of $200 or $250 a ton is the price it would take. Now, obviously, you have to gradually move into this. Nobody could withstand that kind of shock. I mean, at those kind of price levels, the carbon tax portion of your electric bill would be greater than the rest of the bill.
Okay, so what we're saying is, if AB 32 comes into fruition here, is that to bring us back to 1990 by the year 2020, they're going to have to put taxes on how much we use, because we don't have right now the alternative sources to get that fuel.
Well, the alternative sources are so costly.
That's going to raise it too.
That's exactly right. So that's the alternative. We as a utility, if we go out and say, okay, we're faced with a $30 per ton carbon tax for our customers, right now it's cheaper to pay the carbon tax than it is to go out and invest in alternative energy.
Right.
Now, as that price goes up and up, You know, wind's roughly double the price of natural gas generation. Solar photovoltaics are four times the cost. At some point, those become cost-effective by regulatory fiat. But $30 a ton doesn't do it.
Doesn't do it. Okay, let's go to the phones. Ed, you're on. You're on live, Ed.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning, Ed.
Hey, is it possible to turn the volume up here a bit? I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
How's that? You much better?
No, there seems to be something. Well, anyway, I'll continue.
We can hear you fine, though.
Okay, well, just scream back at me if you would.
Okay.
Hey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hang up on you the other day, by the way. It's just that...
we thought we offended you.
No, it's difficult to know when you're being... you're on the on-air or when you're actually only hearing or also talking. Anyway, you may remember, this was about a year and a half ago, Carl, you posted for me. I did an analysis of Reading rates, and that seems to be popular in the chat room, and that'll come up later, but... Since that hasn't been discussed yet, I'd like to talk about Mr. Hooser's comments about transportation and natural gas. And I just think that he's incorrect here in seeing the future of transportation to be natural gas vehicles. I think it's electric vehicles. For the basic reason that you can run an electric vehicle far more efficiently by generating the electricity in a natural gas plant like REUs and charging an electric car. Unfortunately, REU doesn't seem to have any plans to supply electric car charging stations. And the other point about that is, yes, he was right about the dramatically lower prices of natural gas. Unfortunately, REU is locked in high prices, but at this point, at these prices, why is REU still generating electricity with expensive, dirty, and far away coal? You've got the power line running to New Mexico to burn coal. That power line is running to one of the best solar generating site regions in the whole world. Why aren't you using that more efficiently?
Okay, Ed, what we're going to do is we're going to have to take a break here, and we're going to have him answer this as soon as we come back from the break.
That's a long question. I'll get you that.
Oh, that's okay. Okay,
I'll do my best to remember all those questions.
And we'll just stay on, Ed, and keep his memory fresh as we get back. Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460.
Never before.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Carl and Linda Bott.
Jeremiah.
And Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 8:25 in the morning, October 29th. We're in the Halloween weekend, end of October. You know what? Linda and I are celebrating a couple of things today. We can't talk about them right now, but probably next week we're going to reveal a couple of things. No, she's not going to be a mommy. No, Snooki's not going to be a mommy. If she is, I'm going to slap her, you know. I warned her about that.
Then that operation didn't work,
that
did it?
Dog
anyway.
Door. Anyway, hey, we're talking power, we're talking Prop 23. We've got Ed on the phone. Ed has asked a number of questions to our guest, Paul Hooser from the REU. Have I butchered your name totally?
No.
Okay,
no,
we're okay on that. Okay, Paul, start answering the questions.
Yeah, I'll jump in here piecemeal a little bit, but try to cover them all. The reason we are generating electricity with coal, REU does own a small portion of a coal plant that's in San Juan, New Mexico, the Four Corners area of New Mexico, and it is the only source of power available to us that is cheaper than natural gas. So the bottom line is the feedback we get from our customers is that they like low rates, and that coal product is even cheaper than natural gas. Now, at some point, if there's some national push on carbon, that may change the economics of that resource, and we may sell it or do something else, but for the time being, it is very cost effective. In terms of electric vehicles, we continue to analyze this extensively, and as a utility, we would actually love to see a proliferation of electric vehicles. With our load factor, given the extreme heat we have to acquire resources to meet that peak, and then they're idle much of the time in the winter or even at night. So charging electric vehicles off-peak would be a way for us to reduce our overall cost of service. The reason we're not gung-ho on them, even though that would be beneficial to our utility customers, is the battery technology is just not effective yet. I mean, if you look at the Nissan Leaf, the question becomes how many people are going to pay 70% more for a vehicle they can hardly drive. We don't think that they'll be...
Yeah, let him finish his thought, and then you can hop in.
We don't think that they'll be extensively adopted. You know, in some of the more wealthy areas, you will have early adopters that aren't price sensitive. And even if they are adopted, the ability to roll out, if they're adopted in a large scale, the ability to roll out that infrastructure doesn't take an incredibly long time in Reading.
Okay, Ed.
Well, first, you're just wrong about the cars. But first, I go back to... The basic point is your coal utility generates about three times as much CO2 pollution as natural gas. And you're right. If you don't take into account the pollution that you're polluting for free, coal is marginally less expensive than natural gas now, only because you've got stranded cost in an obsolete power plant. Now, back to the electric car question. I happen to have put down a deposit on a Nissan Leaf, and I assure you, that given a rational rate structure like PG&E's, it is clearly my cheapest transportation alternative for a new car purchase. nowhere near that story about 70% above. My total operating costs will be lower. And this is primarily because PG&E has a rational rate structure that gives an off-peak discount for electric car recharging, which is designed to even out the load factor, as you just pointed out. As long as RU is stuck on this flat plus fixed fee rate structure, you are distorting your costs and your customers' costs and preventing economic development, particularly about electric cars. Now, I want to point out to you, the charging infrastructure, it's not there yet, but for the fast charger, fast charging infrastructure, it's on the board, and I hope it'll be there when my car gets here, if I do decide to buy one next spring, all the way from Seattle to the Oregon border and all the way from Sacramento to San Diego. And there's a black hole up here in Northern California.
Can I ask a question? How much do one of those cars cost?
Okay.
You know, generally, you know.
I've got a contract in hand for $35,000 before incentives.
Okay.
But the reason I say it's more economical is because I'll save about $1,500 a year on fuel costs over gasoline.
We've only got like about, 30 seconds
sure,
left. So we're not going to be. Hey, Ed, thanks a lot for your calls, and we'll get back in. And we've got your questions written down. If we miss one, give us a call back, okay?
Put it in the chat room.
Or put it in the chat room with us. Okay, this is Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Paul Hoosier. We're talking, you know what, we started out talking about the Proposition 23 about slowing down AB 32. Talking into a lot more things. We want to talk about the future of our electric here in the city. Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. Carl Lindebot. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We've got phone lines loaded up. We've got chat room loaded up. Our guest is Paul Hoosier from the RU. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop off Athens Avenue right there. DC Tim and the Man in Black. Great haircuts, great prices. If you are a veteran, you get a discount. It's Man's Last Stronghold. Great day to get a haircut. Go in there. Don't worry about watching Oprah, The View, or Dr. Phil. Just go on in there, get a good haircut, good conversation, great men. Okay, our guest is Paul Hoosier from the REU. We've talked about, you know, Ed was on talking about electric cars. Paul, I think you said is that it's not that hard to roll out
the infrastructure for
that.
It is not, and like I said, it would actually lower our cost of service by being able to have some off-peak charging. We'd welcome that opportunity. It's just the economics are pretty compelling against electric cars until battery technology really advances. You have to get that drivable range up and the cost down.
Right. Okay, let's go to John. John, you're on.
Good morning, Carl.
Good morning, Linda.
Paul. And, of course, the omnipresent Bad Bob, the masked man of KCNR. Paul.
Yes.
I have talked to you in the past. Good morning, by the way. And I have talked concerning the use of REU reserves by the city of Reading for non-power-related issues. What I'd like you to address is the 2011 rate increase that's been proposed and approved by city council. And the size of the increase, and how City of Reading use of reserves affects these increases, whether or not that's going to be a part of it. If any of these loans and uses of REU reserves were paid back, would the rate increase still be essential and necessary?
Okay, John, I'll do my best here. And to clarify,
I'm going to leave the line and just listen to what you have to say.
Thanks, John.
Okay.
See you today.
Yes, to clarify, the City Council has not approved a 2011 rate increase. If you rewind to 2 years ago, roughly, when we did a rate presentation, in the interest of transparency, we try to show our cost out for many years. Obviously, a lot of assumptions go into that, and as you actually capture the realities, you eliminate assumptions and you revise your estimates going forward. The reserve issue, and I will say that our cost structure has not changed significantly from when we presented to council roughly 2 years ago. The reason is the biggest driver for our cost structure is in 2004, we lost our contract with the Western Area Power Administration and replaced it with something that's not nearly as good. We used to receive roughly 600 gigawatt hours of cheap hydro energy guaranteed, and we've moved to a contract for multiple reasons beyond the Western Area Power Administration's control, but we've moved to a contract where we really get what the Central Valley Project produces or a slice of what it produces. In an average water year, that's about 250 gigawatt hours a year. So we have to replace that difference at 350 gigawatt hours of cheap hydro with now largely via mandate renewables and more expensive forms of generation. That is the overall driver of our cost structure. And the impact of that with transfers to the general fund, you mentioned loans. I know that there, in the past, there was a loan for the Strati property purchase that received a lot of publicity. That has since been paid in full and is currently having no impact on rates. The only other two loans that I'm aware of out there are for downtown parking structure improvements way back in time, and they are still current loans. Given their size, they would have some positive impact on rates if they were repaid, but it's very small. Don't quote me. I haven't looked at them recently, but I think in the order of half of 1%. Other than that, we have an ongoing payment that we make to the general fund that is, it's an asset-based formula. It's designed to mimic what the general fund would capture if a private utility such as PG&E were to serve. You know, RU is being a municipal utility is tax exempt. If PG&E had infrastructure here, they would pay property tax based on the substation's property equipment that they owned. And the asset-based formula that we have now is designed to roughly mimic that. So, you know, given that that's reasonably accurate, I don't know that there, I don't think there's any rationale, a philosophical rationale, for the general fund at least not collecting what they would collect if a private utility served the citizens. So, you know, those impacts in terms of transfers realistically are pretty small.
Paul, we have another question from the chat room.
We're
going to take a break and come back. Listen, I know you guys have been just oodles of interaction in the chat room. We love that. And we got a question that we'll be coming back to ask Paul at the top of the next break. This is Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It is 8:44 in the morning. Carl and Linda Bott, 605-4567. We're getting in the chat room. We're going to be getting into that.
It's currently 51 degrees, yeah. In case you're wondering. You're just rolling out of bed.
Yeah. And
shame on you.
The weather rock is wet. And, you know, it's the weather rock is wet. Okay, this portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. We are going to be there today at high noon. We're going to be having our town hall meeting, as we do.
Lunch will be served.
Lunch will be available there.
I think it's $5 or $10.
No, it's $5. It's a nominal price. We're going to have Chris Darker and Lonnie Schreiber from the local unions, at a minimum of those two, maybe more. They're going to be talking the union issues. Here's your chance to come down, talk directly to the union reps, let them tell you what they believe without something in between, and a chance for them to hear your questions. We go from 12 to 1. You can come down during lunch. Come on down and join us. It's seating's limited for the first probably like 40 to 50 people to get in there. So please join us at High Noon, Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive for our town hall meeting.
And before we go to the chat room, I just want to thank again our good friend Barbara Harrison. She listens. She's regularly. Thank you, Barbara. Shout out to you and for all your wonderful suggestions. I know that you had emailed us about seniors being transported to the polls. Those who can't find transportation or in need of transportation, please contact the Shasta Senior Nutrition Center, and they will accommodate you to go to the polls and vote, because we all know we want that sticker, the sticker, wear it with pride. Now let's go to
the number there is 226-3075.
Oh, thank you.
226-3075. We'll be talking a lot more about this, and we'll put it on our website.
That's why we're such a good team. Yeah. I tell the body of the story, and then you give the zap.
Okay.
Okay, from the chat room 2 years ago, this is for Paul. Welcome back to the show.
Paul Hooser, R-E-U, El Jefe.
Yeah. 2 years ago, rates were raised at the first council meeting after the election. Can we expect a decision again just after Election Day?
The timing of our rate increases, and actually from a utility perspective, coming right after an election is not ideal for many reasons, because you potentially have new council members that have to get up to speed on a complex issue rather quickly. But the reason for that timing is we do a biannual or two-year budget in Reading. And in order to know how to budget, you have to know what rates are. So if we didn't time it the way we did, the way we do, we would have to pass a budget with some implicit understanding of rates in there. So it wouldn't be appropriate to ask council to pass a budget that has some implicit rate increase potentially in there, and then not have had the public discussion or hearings on the rate prior to doing that. So that's kind of been the compelling reason for why we did that 2 years ago. And, you know, as we presented then 2 years ago, and as I mentioned earlier on the show, our cost structure, because of that hydro contract we have that has dramatically changed, has not been significantly altered recently. So independent of whether there's a carbon tax or anything else, REU does at some point still need rate increases to match. And we lost reserves last year. We're actually drawing down, or the last 2 years, we're actually drawing down reserves. I think at one point we had 52 or 54 million in reserves, and now we stand at around 32 million. Because as we presented a couple years ago, we're kind of easing into this higher cost structure that is a result of primarily this hydro contract, but also legislative action by Sacramento as well.
How much will our rates go up this year?
There's no way I can say that, because that's up to the city council.
Right, but there is, when we were talking about before when I went there, it looked like it was going up 7-8% a year minimum for the next 4 or 5 years.
Yes, and that is what we...
Per year.
That is, you are correct. That is what we presented 2 years ago, and our cost structure really has not changed substantially
so
in that time.
So 7-8% a year.
Something on that order of magnitude is what the utility needs if we want to transition at a measured pace to the new cost structure that we have. And, you know, I guess it'll seem self-serving to some degree, but we still, we're not doing this in a vacuum. PG&E continues to have rate increases. Their rates are 60% higher than us. I know we recently did an analysis for the 2010 fiscal year, which ended June 30th, this past June 30th. Our rate structure saved the citizens of Reading more than $40 million compared to applying that same rate structure, PG&E's rate structure, to our existing customer base. So just, you know, and I know we talked about transfers earlier, but if you look at the value to the community of keeping that $40 million here locally versus exporting it to shareholders that live all over the world, it's a tremendous value locally that for the economy and to help people live a better quality of life.
Okay, we're going to get ready to take a break, but something's going to happen, because 8% a year for 5 years is a 40% increase.
Well, keep in mind we've already had 2 years of that.
Right, okay, so... Okay, so we've had 16, but at the end of 5 years, it's going to be a 40% increase, almost 50%. This is what is coming out of the chat room.
The chat room
is
saying, you're killing us. How do you expect the poor and the elderly to be able to pay these rates as they're climbing? Anyway, so there's outcry in the chat room.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I don't doubt it. It's not that the utility has rate increases because we want to. Keep in mind, we're not a private utility structure. We don't get rewarded by funneling large profits to shareholders. Our customers are our shareholders. We literally do everything we can to keep rates down, but we're paddling against a pretty strong current here. And that's why we point out the relative difference between ourselves and other utilities, because it's a reasonable measure, but it is realistic. You know, I mentioned that to our customers, and they don't really care that PG&E's rates are 60% higher. They don't want their rates to go up. I understand that. But there's no mechanism. We have to purchase the power or pay for it in some fashion that we sell to our customers. There's no way to get it for free, and that's our cost driver, is the cost of power.
Okay, we're going to have to take a quick break. When we come back, people are on the phone. We'll get back to them. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Our guest is Paul Hoosier from REU, and, you know, things just don't look that rosy in the future. Join us after these messages.
Back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand.
Welcome back
up
to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media and Carl and Linda Bott. It's 8:54, our last segment. Ed, one question, Ed. We've got a couple minutes left.
Comment.
Okay.
Mr. Hoosier, you're a master of the lie by omission.
Oh.
Yes, gas cars cost more than electric if you don't count the cost of the gas. And REU rates are lower than PG&E if you don't count the service fees and the whole bill. I hope at the next rate hearings, REU won't lie its way through the hearings like it did last time. And I hope Reading citizens go there and don't allow you to simply misstate the facts in your testimony.
Okay, Ed, thank you for your comments. Thank you for your phone call, and thanks for listening, Ed. You've been with us a long time.
Yeah, and you know what? Everybody gets a chance to speak their piece, and they do
that's
it in
right.
a way
as
that...
As long as we're civil with it. Yes. And that was. That was your opinion, Ed. Paul?
Well, I stand by my comments. The $40 million figure I quoted, it is inclusive of all fees, service charges, everything. It is absolutely more than $40 million in savings. And the gas versus electric cars, while there's certainly some operating cost savings at our rates or virtually any utility rates in the country driving using electric energy, it only offsets a fraction of the additional cost of the vehicle. And we would love, as a utility, it could improve our cost of service. We would love to see wide-scale adoption of plug-in hybrids or pure electric cars. We just, given the economics, we don't think there will be wide-scale adoption. You've got the range issue with pure electric cars, and you've got even the cost issue with plug-in hybrids.
Okay. We've got some really good questions coming in the chat room. We've only got like 4 minutes left, but the economic impact the higher electric rates are going to have, especially because we talk about Stillwater being a place where there's low electricity rates. Can you give us a quick one on that? Then I want to talk about what people can do and what you can do to help keep your rates down.
Yeah, we can talk about energy conservation things to keep rates down. Stillwater, one of the reasons that, at least from a California perspective, now keep in mind that with laws like AB 32, California is a very tough place to do economic development. But if a firm needs to be in California, we do have some advantages here, and one of them is both the cost and reliability of electricity. If you compare REU's rates, certainly to a PG&E or a California Edison, they're extremely attractive. Even compared to other municipal utilities, we have some very attractive rates available here, and that's one of our calling cards. The other thing is, in terms of reliability, we are several times more reliable. I think PG&E has roughly 8 times the outages that we have. And for large customers, that reliability often be as important or sometimes more important than the price of electricity. Those are both real incentives that Reading can offer to a potential customer coming to Stillwater Business Park. Obviously, we need to do everything we can to maintain low rates and reliable service going forward. It's not just attracting the customers, it's keeping them. So, you know, like I mentioned earlier, we're trying.
Okay, now, Paul, just got a couple minutes left. If people want to get help on conserving their energy, how can they do that? REU is there to help them.
Yes, we do have a program where we offer energy audits. I know we were talking about it at the break here.
Yeah, we're going to get
one
of those.
It.
We're going to do it and then bring in the guy that does it so we can talk about it.
We have a 1942 home that is we need help.
And basically what we do, there's not a cost to the customer, but we send somebody out to go through your home and look at the things that are available. Some of them require some investment. Some of them, candidly, are very minimal investment, the kind of caulking and weather stripping that have very quick paybacks. And we have rebates for other programs. You know, if you replace your air conditioner with something more efficient, the utility helps with that. So basically somebody can come out to your home, go through, and point out to you, provide you with a list of things that you can do and the economics of doing those things. So
okay. Well, we're going to do that. We're going to bring that person on. We're going to talk about how it can help us and how it can help you.
We'd like to have you come on next month.
Again, talk some more.
Yeah, would
I'd
you?
I'd be glad to.
Yeah.
Paul? Paul Hooser has been our guest, and the director of REU, Reading Electric Utility.
Thanks so much. Now, and don't miss today at noon at Tobacco and Brew.
Union representatives are going to be there. We're going to talk to them face to face. We're going to, you know, a lot of times all we're hearing is sound bites. Now's the chance to spend an hour with people like Chris Darker and Lonnie Schreiber from the unions, our neighbors, and let's talk to them about that and start talking about what's good for our community on all levels, not just union, Chamber of Commerce. It should be for our community. We're going to talk about that.
We want to thank our producer, Bob Belongi. Thank you always. It's a great Friday. There's so much going on
this
weekend.
I really like that mustache, though, and that little Z you keep running around. We don't
have a safe Halloween Saturday night. We'll see you out in Anselmo's tomorrow. There's the Halloween doggy thing, and there's, MASH. The list goes on. There's the at the church tomorrow. There's the craft fair. I can't think right now, but you know the one across from the Episcopal Church.
And the Keeblers are having the big Hallow Bark.
Right.
Okay, now, Monday, Patrick Jones and Ken Murray. Big debate right here. KCNR Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You've been listening to KCNR, Shasta Reading.